Again, I'm very thankful for the prayer and for the songs that we sang, and it's my prayer and hope that God found them pleasing in His sight, and would ask for a continuation of your prayers this morning as I try to speak from God's Word. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, I'm very thankful for the faithfulness of those that are here, as I said, and as I mentioned, you know, of those who come to the house of the Lord with every kind of ailment known to man, that it is a miracle to see that kind of faith. And I can't help but, mention Brother George. I've seen the man as sick as anybody that ever lived upon the face of the earth, but he was probably in the house of God more than anyone that I've ever been around. And there's others who are not old Baptists that I've seen that same faith in, and may God bless us to be strengthened in that faith, that our desire is to be with Him every opportunity that we get. The subject on my mind this morning is God's love, the effect it had on us, and the power of God's love over us, and also the effect it should have on us in our daily lives as we live here upon the earth. And, you know, we're told that charity covereth a multitude of sin. Really, when you look at the Bible, you can get technical, you can know all the scriptures, you can talk about all the truths that you know, but there is nothing that trumps all that like God's love, like your love for someone else. You know, we couldn't make it right, we couldn't understand. You know, in John chapter 3, 1 John 3 and 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." You know, that statement there is twofold in the fact that I believe John wanted us to realize, he wanted us to stand still and to realize what kind of love was expended but from God, if you would, if that's the proper word, granted to us through Jesus Christ. I mean, really understand how much He loved you, what manner, what type, what sort of love it was. You know, how many people have you told in your life that you love them over and over and over? That's good. It's good to tell those that we love them, our husbands, our wives, our children, our mothers and our dads, and especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. But eventually love's got to be more than just words, or you find it to be very empty and somewhat vain, if you would. You know, how would it have been if God said, "I love you. I love you so much. If you'll just get right, if you can just correct everything that's wrong in your life, then you can come and be with me." What kind of love would that have been? You see, when we understand God's love, if we make an attempt to understand it, the kind of love He had for each and every one of us, it ought to have an overwhelming effect on the kind of love that we have for one another. I'm going to make sure I turn my phone off. I'd hate for it to ring here. Thank the Lord's calling me or something, but I did have it turned off, but I couldn't remember. But anyway, just think about what kind of love God had for you. Are any of us perfect? How many mistakes have we made? How many sins have we committed? How many transgressions have went against God? Behold, stand still if you would. Think about it. Consider it. Consider the love that God has for you and I. Do you know that He tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 or 38 through 9? It begins at 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" Do you realize that God loves you so much that no matter how bad you might be or how off track you may get, His love will never change for you? You know, when you disappoint the Lord doesn't cast you off, does He? When you fail to come to the house of the Lord, He doesn't cast you off. Now, that doesn't give us a rhyme, reason, and excuse not to do it, but it gives us a true picture of what God's love really is. When we say that God's love is unconditional, that's exactly what we mean. It's unconditional. It's not based upon your good behavior, because none of our good behaviors are very good. We don't keep the commandments of God. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If we take that to heart, I'd say the most of us doesn't love him. Would y'all say that? Keep my commandments. He didn't say keep them for 10 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or one day. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's a show of love. But when we look at the love that the Lord had for us, he kept his promise, didn't he? He didn't just say, I love you, and I wish you could get yourself straightened out where you could be with me. He said, I loved you, and I'm going to do whatever is necessary that you will live with me, regardless of your actions or your behavior. Regardless of how tied up you may be in this life and how much emphasis you may put on other things, you're going to dwell with me in paradise one day regardless, because I love you that much. I tell you, if you really begin to think about the love that God has for his people, it's an astounding thing. It's miraculous. I mean, none of us deserve for the Lord to love us. We don't. We're not deserving of that. We've not earned it. We've not walked a mile or 2 miles or 10 miles or 100 miles in such a way that God said, I can't do without you. He loved you before you were ever born, from everlasting to everlasting. He told Jeremiah, I have appeared unto thee of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I will draw thee. Therefore, because I have always loved you before your behavior become bad, or before you done anything, good or bad, I loved you. And you're going to be with me. I'm going to draw you to myself because I love you that much. It's an astounding love. He says in the 38th verse of Romans chapter 8, for I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I tell you, God's love is an amazing thing. God is love. And we exist because of God's love. This world is bound by the love of God. Did you know that? We exist today. We're not consumed today because of the love of God. We're told in the 76th Psalm, in the 10th verse, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Do you know that this world does not implode, does not disintegrate, is not consumed, because God has such a love for his people that he won't allow it? That's exactly right. He loves us so much that he restrains the great degree of evil that we would bring upon ourselves and upon others to the very fact of destruction, because he loves us with an everlasting love. God's love is amazing. It's just like amazing grace. His love is amazing. We know that we have hope because God's love is rich in mercy. We're told in Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and even when we're born of the Spirit of God and we stumble and we get lost, you say, maybe in this world and off the beaten path, God, who is rich in mercy, continues to love you. Not because of anything in you, because he set you as the object of his love before you were ever even a thought, before you were ever born into this world. Isn't it amazing that you could love someone? He knew you. He knew you would be born in this world, and he loved you. It's a powerful love, and it's an amazing thing. And if you're born of the Spirit, we're told that the first fruit to be born of the Spirit is love in Galatians 5 and 22. You know, not only does the Bible teach us the amazing love that God has for us, and how no matter what we do, no other creature, including ourselves, can ever separate us from the love of God. There's no thing so bad that you and I can do that God's going to cast us into eternal hell and eternal separation, because God's love is that magnificent. Matter of fact, I don't really have a word to explain how glorious God's love is for his people. And the more we understand about God's love, the more it ought to have an effect on how we love other folks. Have you ever told someone that you love them, and then when they don't live up to whatever standards you set or whatever road you wanted them to go down, you fail to express that love any longer? Maybe you turn cold to them. Maybe something else happens. But, you know, God, He's faithful to His promises. And when you and I get off the beaten path, He still loves you as much as He ever did. Did you know that? That's what God's love is. That's the power that God's love has over each and every one of us. We think about that. Love is a gift, I believe, if you would, or at least it's a basis for a gift. We go to the Gospel of John. We begin to read in chapter 3, a very familiar verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, there's a lot of folks who misunderstand this verse. This verse is often explained as a verse that God died for the world or sent His Son to die for the world, and that there's a door of opportunity there for you to walk through. If you'll just walk through it and do the right thing, then you will live with God throughout all eternity. But when you rightly divide the word of truth, or you try to bring Scripture into some type of harmonic flow where it's in harmony, then if you do that, you will find that this verse absolutely would be contradict other verses in the Bible. We're told over in, for an example, and we're not going to get off on the world very long, but God gave His Son for the world. We're in the gift-giving season, are we not? That ought to be all the time, because there are gifts that we can give that are far more important than the materialistic things that many of us will receive here at Christmas. The gift of one's time, the gift of one's love. There are gifts that are enormous in a person's life. I mean, you can't give a person too much time. You can give them too much junk in this world, but you can't give them too much of your time. You can't give them too much of your love. Because that's what makes the world go round, I believe. It's what holds us together and binds us together. But there is a world here for whom God gave His Son. 1 John chapter 2 and 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, the same Greek word was used to translate world in both scriptures. My whole point in bringing this up is, God loved this world. And then John, the same writer of the Gospel of John, tells us not to love the world. Well, the two worlds have got to be different. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If the world that was under consideration in John 3 and 16 is the same world spoken of throughout all the Bible, then God contradicted Himself, did He not? Because the same writer used the same Greek word to translate world. That means we need to study a little more. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We know that God told us to love Him first and foremost, with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourself. That the entire law, the balance of the entire law and the prophets hung on those two commandments. He brought them down to love. That's what it's all about. You know, you may not be able to keep God's law. You may not understand the teachings of God's Word. You know, we as Primitive Baptists sometimes spend all our time trying to be the best Primitive Baptist. You know, we got the truth. We got all this. But do you know that God's love overrides anything that we know or think? And we're going to look at that as we go along. But the world means an orderly arrangement here. It has to be, because if God loved this world that God loved and gave His Son for, He wouldn't tell us not to love it. He tells us to love our neighbors, ourselves, and to love Him first and foremost. So we know that there is a world embraced here, and that word world means orderly arrangement. There is a world embrace here that God loves so much. That's the basis of the gift that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son because of the love that He had for His people. You know, most of us hear that. We've heard it 1,000 times. I ask you today, What kind of effect does that have on you? Does it really make a difference in your life? I want you to think about it as we go along in a minute. In Acts chapter 20, and I believe it's verse 35, the words of Jesus Christ were these words: "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." Now, he didn't say it wasn't a blessing to receive. You know, many folks next week or through the course of this week or maybe already have received gifts from Christmas. It's a blessing to receive a gift. You know, because God gave, we received a gift. Did we not receive the gift of eternal life? Could we receive a greater blessing? Matter of fact, in some sense, how could we think that there could be any blessing greater? But the Lord himself said the giver of the blessing gets the greater blessing. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You see, Jesus Christ was perfect and sinless. And because you and I could not enter into the kingdom of God based upon our good behavior, our good works, or our ability to do the right thing, God gave his Son because he loved you so much. But the Bible tells us that God was more blessed than we were. Think about that for a minute. The blessing was greater to Jesus Christ than it was to us. It was a blessing. He just said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. He never said that the reception of a blessing wasn't great, because eternal life is the greatest blessing that you and I will ever receive. But Jesus was guaranteed, and I don't say guaranteed a lot, but he was guaranteed in the covenant of the grace that when he came to the cross of Calvary and died, that the objects of his love, however many were embraced in this orderly arrangement called the world, would one day live with him in paradise to enjoy fellowship, communion, and time with the Lord without any end. That was the blessing unto Jesus Christ. When he said, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." It's hard to believe that the blessing that Jesus got was greater, but he gave us that blessing. God gave it, the blessing that God had give us. "For he gave his only begotten Son. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." You know, I think a lot about that, and I think the older folks here that will understand. When you're young, you know what's on your mind, especially as children, and Christmas is coming. We're just wondering about all the presents that we're going to receive, all the presents that are under the tree. But as the years go by, you know, the desire of those presents for most of us are not what they was when we were young, when we were children especially. And it's a greater blessing to me to see the eyes of a young child light up with a gift than it is to receive one. I guess I'm getting old enough that the receiving of a gift is not, I mean, I'm thankful for it, but it's not to me what it once was. I'd a whole lot rather give somebody something than get something. And I think as time goes on in our life, we realize that. But the Bible tells us from the very get-go, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. God showed us how great his love for us was by giving his perfect, sinless Son to die for us, because there was no other way that we would live with him in paradise. The love that God had for us is amazing. It's a powerful love. It was a love that has drawn us to him and into his kingdom. It is a love that has given us a desire to worship him and to serve him and to love one another. And it's just an amazing thing. We think about Matthew 22 again. We're to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And we ought to, because he's given us the greatest blessing. You know, if I was to ask you, what's the greatest gift you've ever received, or what is the greatest gift you've ever given, what would you answer that? I will answer it for all of us, whether we realize it or not. The greatest blessing that we've ever received is the gift of eternal life. I mean, it's the greatest one. And it was not based upon whether or not we'd walk the line, because there's none of us have walked the straight and narrow. Some folks tend to believe they have, but I'll assure you, if they read the Bible, they hadn't walked the straight and narrow. None of us have. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And I tell you what, sin doesn't stop, and it will not stop until we're laid in the heart of the earth and our spirit flies home to be with God. It's an unfortunate thing, but it's real. Now, let's go and look for just a few moments at and what love is. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "For God hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That really tells it like it is. The gift of Jesus Christ made us righteous in the sight of God the Father. Do you know that? His righteousness was imputed to us. A righteousness that you could never get, obtain, or come by in any other way. It was given to you, imputed to you, if you would. And our sins were taken and put upon him, and they've forgotten as far as the east is from the west. He's been merciful to our unrighteous, and our sins and iniquities, he said he would remember no more. That's the amazing thing about God's love. Yes, God loves us so much that in time, in this natural life, he will chasten us. But he will never cast you off. He will never totally separate you from him. His love for you is still the same. He wouldn't chasten you if he didn't love you. You know, if you chasten your children, it's because you love them. If you don't chasten them, the Bible says you don't love them. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. Oh, the world will tell you, don't lay the wood to your child. The Bible says if you don't, you hate your child. Do we believe God or do we believe man? I believe God. That's how great God's love is for us. But I want you to know that the love that God has for you and I will never leave. We'll never be separated from him, no matter how off base we get, no matter how bad we might become or how bad we might stumble. And you know, we stumble. We don't get born of the Spirit of God and walk and toe the line. It'd be nice if we did, but we don't. You know, we have to pray that the Lord would uphold us and help to restrain us from those things that are always tempting us in this life. God's love is an amazing thing. And, you know, I want to go to 1 John chapter 4 and look for a moment what God's love is, and then we're going to look at what God's love is not as we close. It says in verse 8 of 1 John chapter 4, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." If you really love, folks, and I believe that you're going to find out that real love is an action. As you well know, God didn't say, "I love you," and leave it at that. Because if he had, we'd all been eternally separated from God, and none of us would ever live with him. You know, what we want is a picture in God's word of what real love is. And if we understand the manner of love that has been bestowed upon us, if we behold and we really understand that, it ought to make a miraculous difference in our life of how we manifest love to each other, to our brothers and sisters, to our children, to our spouses. It ought to have an overwhelming effect on us. He says here, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." We would have been eternally separated from God and never lived in heaven had he not sent his Son into the world. I call it the gift of love. But if you call it the gift of his Son, he gave his Son. The basis of giving his Son was rooted in the everlasting love he had for his people. Herein is love, not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. God says that if you'll come to understand the manner of love that he's bestowed upon you and I, and we bear fruit of that love, then we can overlook the difficulties, the shortcomings, and all the other sins that people have. That's why Peter said that charity, which is a love feast, covereth a multitude of sin. In other words, if somebody sins, and we all do, we don't make a show of it. It doesn't mean that we condone it. But we love them enough to not cast them off, because we know that we ourselves can commit the same sins and often do so. We're not sinless because we come to the house of God. Matter of fact, I've come to believe that I'm no less a sinner than I ever was. I may have shifted my sins from one category to another, but when you look at all the sins, the unrighteous before God, when you look at people and you think more highly of a person than you ought to, you've committed sin. James tells us that. He does. Pride is one of the worst sins they are. And the list of sins go on and on. But we've all sinned and we continue to sin and we continue to need God's grace and continue to need repentance every day of our lives. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to read some verses through there and then we're going to wind down this morning. He begins by telling us what love isn't in the first three verses. Paul says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. You know, Paul had he could speak many languages. He could speak as an angel, as a pastor, as a preacher called from God. He had vast knowledge. He said, I can tell you that I love you, but if that's all I do, I'm just like a bunch of sounding brass, a bunch of tambourines, a bunch of cymbals being clanged together. If that's all there is these words, then they're empty and they're meaningless. He goes on and he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and you know, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, there's probably never been another preacher. I know there's never been that had the knowledge and the understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of God like Paul did. Christ revealed unto Paul that manner. He said, and though I have all faith, you know, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll not find another man as faithful as Paul was. One who set out to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord dealt with him. He suffered many things. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. And on goes the story of Paul. He says, I have all faith that I could remove mountains. You know his faith was strong when you see the things that he went through to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, if I don't have charity, if I don't have love for my fellow brethren, if I don't show them how much I love them, I am nothing. If we don't show our husbands and wives how much we love them, we are nothing. We aren't. If we don't show our children and our mothers and fathers, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. That's a way to show your mother and your father that you love them. Love is the greatest thing, as that song says, we've ever known. Another song we have that we sing, Jesus, lover of my soul. Do you know that Jesus loved your soul? He loves your soul with an everlasting love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I do all these great and glorious works, and though I give my body to be burned, in other words, I've consumed myself in preaching the gospel and teaching the kingdom of God to brothers and sisters in Christ, and I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Paul just told us what love isn't. He says you can say all the right words, and if you can't back up what you say with action, there's really nothing to it. It's really empty and it's vain. If you love someone, you will show them. Just like I said, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how we truly show the Lord that we love him. We keep his commandments. Because his love will never change for you, regardless of how much we manifest our love to him. You see, John said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. We can love our enemies. We can bless them that curse us, do good unto them that hate us. We can pray for them to despitefully use us and persecute us, that we may be the children of our heavenly fathers, we're told in Matthew. This is how we manifest love, not based upon what other folks do. He's going to exploit that here in just a second. Verse 4 begins to tell us what love really is. Love, charity, it suffereth long. It's very patient. It endures. It puts up with. You know, the first time somebody doesn't do what you want them to do, you don't cast them off. You don't. You continue to love them. That's what Jesus did for us, did he not? You know, if Jesus would have cast us off based upon our behavior or how we acted, we'd have been all cast off a long time ago. And when we understand the love that God had for us, The next thing we ought to do is manifest that type of love to the best of our ability to others. And I believe that's what Paul's teaching us here. We got to be long-suffering with folks. We got to realize that we're sinners and they're sinners. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all do the wrong thing from time to time. The Lord was long-suffering. You husbands and wives know that you need to be long-suffering with one another, don't you? Sometimes we get at one another's throats. Sometimes we don't please one another. There's not any relationship or marriage that we don't have these troubles or these problems. They happen. They're real. But the Bible gives us the power to deal with those difficulties and those problems. Be long-suffering. Be patient. Be prayerful. He says, charity envieth not. When you really love someone, you don't become jealous. Maybe, and this really applies to our brothers and sisters. You know, there are folks out there that have a lot more than we have. Do we not love them now because we're jealous? That happens in a lot of situations and relationships. But real love has no jealousy in it. Real love is built and based upon trust. And it can even happen between a husband and a wife or our children. How much do we love them? Think about how much God loved you. How many mistakes you've made and God never stopped loving you. And He really never stopped showing you His love. He continues to bless us in spite of our sins. Charity vaunteth not. In other words, it doesn't boast. You don't go around boasting of all the wonderful things you do. Matter of fact, one of the greatest shows of charity is humility. You know, there are folks that want to be like that Pharisee who stood in the street and prayed that, I thank thee, O God, that I'm not as all these other men. But what about that publican who said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner? Friends, real love doesn't boast. Real love is contentment and godliness, which the Bible says is of great gain. It goes on to say, "Not vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, it's not full of pride." You know, we're just thankful that God loves us and that He's blessed us to have a love for our fellow brethren. You know, the Bible says to love your neighbor. He didn't just say love your brother in Christ. That means we're to even love our enemies and those that oppose us. Love is a tremendous thing and can be a powerful thing in our lives. It certainly was in our eternal salvation. It says, "Do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own." This right here is one of the greatest teachings that love will ever have in any relationship, regardless of what it is. And until we can put ourselves down on the list, lower than the person that we love, we will never be able to exhibit or manifest the love to that person that we claim to have. You can tell them you love them all day, but if you're number one, if the me, myself, and I syndrome has taken over your life, if you're the old number one, you'll never get there. Seeketh not her own. That's what real love is. It always seeks the good and the best and the welfare of others. Whether it be your husband, your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're seeking what's best for you, then you don't have the ability to manifest the love to others that you ought to. Did Jesus seek what was best for Him? Was it the best thing for Him to die? To suffer the excruciating pain or the eternal wrath of God that was poured out upon Him? Was that desirable? No, but that's what it took. He wasn't seeking His own. He was seeking us. He was seeking our benefit and our welfare and our good, that one day we're going to live in a place called paradise where you won't have the troubles that run through your mind day in and day out. They'll exist no more. It seeketh not its own. It is not easily provoked or angered. Thinketh no evil. It doesn't keep a running tally of wrongs. How many people do you know that make a list, if nothing more than in their mind, of everything you've done wrong to them in your life? How you hadn't lived up to some expectation. How you hadn't got them what they want, or how you hadn't treated them the way that they think you ought to treat them. Real love keeps no tally of wrongs. That's what love really is. You know, Paul began by saying, love isn't just making noise and saying things with no follow through. Then he begins to express what it really is. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth in all things, and endureth. Love is an enduring attribute in God's life, and it certainly ought to be in our life. And the Bible says that charity or love never fails. I believe that's the greatest thing that you can understand. You know, love is the greatest thing because love never fails. You and I fail time and time again, but when you truly love someone, it never fails. It overcomes. That's why charity covereth a multitude of sin. You know, I say and I believe that love is the great trump card in the Bible. You know, none of us have all the truth. None of us have all the understanding. But I tell you what, when you love somebody and you truly love somebody, there is nothing greater in this world. And when you see that in someone's life and you see their willingness to go the extra mile for you under whatever circumstance that you may befall you, and I've seen that in my life, there is just nothing greater. Have you seen how far your parents have went for you in your life, or how far your children may have went for you at times, or your grandparents or great-grandparents or your brothers and sisters in Christ, how far they went to show you how much they love you? Did you turn around and show them how much you love them? You see, we have that ability. We may not all manifest it, because John said, behold, what manner of love. First of all, he wanted you to understand the love that was under consideration when God gave his only begotten Son to die for you in your room instead, that you one day will live in heaven. Then he wanted you to understand that this is the kind of love you ought to manifest in all the relationships, from brothers and sisters in Christ to husbands and wives to children to neighbors to co-workers. This is what he wanted you to understand. It's the greatest thing that we can do for one another is love one another in spite of our flaws. We all have them. In spite of our shortcomings, because there's none of us perfect. We're never going to be perfect in this life. And it is my prayer that God will bless us to have a greater understanding of his love for us. And the more we understand about how much he loved us, I think the more we will love others with that same love. No, we can't love anyone to the degree that I believe God loved us, but we can work on it. You know, we'll never be separated from God's love. And I hope the ones that we love in this life will never be separated from us, because we don't follow through with what the Lord teaches us in his word. May God